A very good evening to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3. We had just read the passage that describes the healthy church, Philadelphia. Tonight we want to consider our spiritual health. Dear friends, have you ever done a spiritual checkup? Medical checkups are quite commonplace nowadays, and we go once a year and go through various tests. For a spiritual checkup, I believe we need to go more often. As for me, it is a daily affair. Every night, ask the Lord, Lord, where have I transgressed? Where my health has been impinged and rendered perhaps in some form of danger? Lord, will you tell us? This must be our attitude tonight, dear friends. For our great physician is also the Alpha and the Omega. This book of Revelation is a marvelous book, and I've chosen this passage, the first of which tells of the healthy church, spiritually sound, blessed of the Lord, acceptable. Then we shall go on to the second passage, which tells of a sickly church. And the one who can tell us is our great God and Savior, the great physician. He himself is going to speak to us. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the one who began it all for you. And I'm the one who will come and conclude this chapter of our life on earth. How are you doing? Look at chapter 3 now, please. The good church, Philadelphia, is one of the two churches which was praised by the Lord. Only two out of seven. And this church in verse 8 has a commendation. Do you belong to the Philadelphia kind of church? The Lord says, I know thy works. He knows exactly what you do every day. And for him to have a word of commendation, I say, thank God. Give yourself a pat on the back and say, if the Lord approves, I'm happy. What does it say? Jesus says to those in that church of Philadelphia, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Do you have that little strength? How do you show that little strength? In serving the Lord. In exerting your best for the Lord, even though it is a little strength. My dear friends, do not be discouraged if you only have a little strength. God looks for faithfulness. Little strength with faith and faithfulness. Doing what you can, continue to do. Serving where you can, in your church, in your home, in your place of work, continue to serve. The Lord is pleased. And he says, you have a little strength, I'm pleased with it. Are you? Then he says, thou hast kept my word. This is the most important thing, for the word of God is the most precious treasure he has left to us. Guard it. Love it, read it, keep it, and disseminate it, propagate it. Thou hast kept my word. And then in this same verse 8 he says, you have not denied my name. When today there are so many gospels, so many saviors, you say, only Jesus. You have not denied that name. When many churches have gone astray and said many names are good. You have not denied that name. Verse 11. This is a wonderful promise. The Lord says to you, behold, I come quickly. When you hear this, what is your response, your reaction? My dear friends, let me tell you this. As for me, this behold, I come quickly has been my life verse, as it were, ever since I heard the gospel from the lips of Dr. John Sung. Behold, I come quickly. Every day I think of it. Every day I live my life according to this promise of the Lord's coming. Do you? Spiritual health will be greatly helped when you believe and understand and look forward to this great, wonderful, climactic event. Oh, my friends, if you look for the Savior's coming every day and live your life accordingly, I dare say your spiritual life is in a good state. Continue to read, please, verse 11. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There is a wonderful reward coming to all those who serve the Lord faithfully. Every day, walking with Him, observing and obeying His holy commands, you are assured your spiritual life is on the right track. There is a crown coming for you. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, you know. The pillar is the most important structure in any building. It is the one that holds up the superstructure. And when we have arrived in heaven, you will be regarded. You will be made a pillar. The Lord will install you in His house forever and ever. And you will never leave that wonderful dwelling place of God. Is that your desire, my friends? Let us live every day. Serve Him every day with one thought. As David the king says, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. One thing. David had everything as king. You name it, he had it. He enjoyed everything. But one thing in the final analysis, he says, I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is that your aspiration? When you're walking with the Lord, your spiritual health is good, every day you think of my heavenly home, don't you? My grandfather, my pastor, when I was little, used to pray nightly, Lord, take the soul of thy servant. I asked him, grandfather, were you unwell last night? Why do you pray so loudly? He said, no, grandchild. I want to go to be with my Savior. Spiritual health is so good every day, but better still, one thing have I desired, that I may meet my Savior. If you have that kind of desire, congratulate yourself. You are in a good state of spiritual health, longing, waiting, yearning, looking forward to the day when He will call you and you will be there forever and ever. What does it say here? A pillar of the temple of my God. Verse 12 again, continue to read. I will write upon him the name of my God. God will claim you as His own. His name will be written on you. He will never let you go. You will never be lost. You are so precious to Him. Oh, what a wonderful thought it is, given to the Christians of the Church of Philadelphia. And it says here, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, will be written on you, because you are a citizen of that New Jerusalem. which is New Jerusalem, come down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, unto the church of Philadelphia. Dear friends, how many of you can say confidently, I am a citizen of the heavenly kingdom and a member of the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. Now, so much for the church that is in healthy condition. Now we look into the second church we have to consider tonight. Verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Who is he? Our Lord Jesus Christ alone is the faithful and true witness, for he knows us through and through. He sees us through and through, and he will tell us exactly our condition. And when you hear it, as we read this, do not be offended if it touches a sensitive spot, because it is going to describe some unpleasant things in the church of Jesus Christ of the end times. You may be described there. Do not be upset, but say, Lord, I thank you. You are the true and faithful witness, and you have revealed to me. When you go to your doctor and get a checkup, and he says, you have this thing wrong, you don't get angry with the doctor, but you say, thank God I have a good doctor who tells me all that is wrong with me. Here is the physician of your soul, and he is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. Now, verse 15, he says to you, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. What is he talking about? Lukewarm church. You know, the church here described is called the Church of the Laodiceans. Let me tell you something of the Church of the Laodiceans. If there is a similarity or analogy, I think I can tell you that the Church of the Laodiceans is very similar to the Church of the Singaporeans today. Laodicea is in many, many ways similar to Singapore. It was a very prosperous city. Is Singapore prosperous today? Getting more and more prosperous. Once we were third world, today we are first world. Getting more and more prosperous every day. Laodicea was the center of commerce, industry, banking, finance. Sounds like Singapore, doesn't it? Yes. Everything was wonderful, prospering. Center of culture, of the arts, of education, of transportation, and every form of recreation and entertainment was to be found in Laodicea as well as Singapore. So this description of the end time church of Laodicea fits in many ways with the church in Singapore. I pray that it does not describe our church. I pray that while we pride ourselves as being a Bible church, Bible believing church, Bible practicing church, and Bible defending church, a separated church from all the other unbelief, we do not do so only as a facade, as an outward show. But every member belonging to this church will search himself. Does this description which we are going to read about, the church of the Laodicean, apply to me? Let us be very honest before the great physician. Now let's look on. Verse 15. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Either one is better than to be lukewarm. Oh, this is something new to us, isn't it? Let's read on. Verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, says the great Amen, the one who is faithful and true witness, who will tell you exactly your condition, neither exaggerated nor diminished, exactly. Now listen to what he says. Because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Pause and think. In medicine, sometimes it is necessary for us doctors to induce a patient to vomit. And to cause the patient to vomit, we give a very large mug of salt water, lukewarm. And when the patient has drunk all that thing, very soon he will vomit the whole lot out. It is a response of the system to lukewarm saline solution. Now, here the Lord uses it as an analogy. Better be cold. We know you need spiritual help. We know that you are a heathen, no faith. You need the gospel. We can give it to you. Right? It's plain. The case is plain. The doctor can diagnose you. You're cold. You need the gospel warm for you. You're hot, fervent, serving the Lord in the church, walking with Him. We know that. Either cold or hot, we can understand. But in between, lukewarm. You're a Christian. You look like a Christian. You come to church. You attend services and you know your Bible somewhat. But you are not really walking with God. You are in between. It's very hard to tell. And that kind of a Christian is what the Lord does not like. We must not do any play acting. We must be true to ourselves. You know the Lord, serve Him with heart and soul, mind and strength. Never be the what they call 6:30. Lukewarm, neither here nor there. This kind of Christian is not acceptable with the Lord. Now verse 17. What does this kind of Christian say to Him, to the Lord? He is the Laodicean type of Christian, and I dare say many here in Singapore belong to this category. What do they say? I'm rich. Increase with goods, no need of anything, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Here is a revelation. A revelation by the great physician himself. He says, you equate your material wealth and well-being with spiritual well-being, which is a great mistake. You know, there are many people who says, well, I prayed the Lord and my business prospered. That must be answer to prayer. That is blessing. Thank God. So he prospers and he equates it with God's approval. Well, it yes and no, but be careful. It may not be exactly God's blessing just because he prospered. But the Laodicean church here says, I'm rich, I'm well off, I'm very well indeed, I don't need anything at all. But the real spiritual state of the person is not known to the person. He's not aware. He's not aware that he has been practicing a kind of Christianity which is routine. Sometimes it is a kind of courtesy call coming to church. I got to go. I will go. And you go through the motions of reading, singing, praying, attending at the church, and you feel pretty good. This kind of Christianity is tending to be the lukewarm and worldly kind. And God says, this is nauseating. You're neither here nor there. You're just pretending to be a Christian. You do not know that you are here. Please notice the five descriptions. Wretched. Why? God does not approve of this. And if God does not approve, you are in that category of being a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Wow. What a spiritual checkup. I'm going to show you some OHPs in a moment, which will display all these descriptions very well. Now here comes the prescription. And the great physician gives to us here his counsel. You know, a church like this, normally you think the Lord will rebuke that church and say all kinds of very unkind things and write it off. But our Lord is a Lord of great patience, loving kindness, tender mercies. So verse 18 says, I counsel thee. I speak very gently. Oh dear friends, anyone here who is discouraged because of this description, listen. Our Lord is very loving, gentle, mild and gracious. And he says, I counsel thee. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich. Come, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. I have all that you need today. Come to the Lord Jesus. Anyone here who is in that state of spiritual decline, come to the Lord. Buy from him without money, without price. When he says buy means come and receive it from me by grace. The gospel is by grace, free of charge. It is gold tried with fire, seasoned gold, pure gold, genuine gold tried with fire is the word of God. Come and buy of me that thou mayest be rich. When we have the word of God, we have treasure in our earthen vessels. We are very rich. Without that word of God, you have nothing. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, for not our righteousness, not our works by ourselves, we can never attain righteousness, but come and receive from the Lord that robe of righteousness, that our shame be clothed and our nakedness may not be seen. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve. God will give you the eye salve that you may see your real condition. Now these are the prescriptions and the offer from our God. Now comes the conclusion. Verse 19. As many as I love, we have a wonderful God. Our Lord Jesus does not easily give up on us. Anyone here who is despairing tonight because of some backsliding, because of some sin you've committed, because of something that has happened to you and you feel so discouraged, come to the Savior. Verse 19. I love you. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20 is the best verse in this passage. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is so patient. At your heart's door, he never forces an entry into anybody's heart, but he is there seeking an entry with you. Open your heart's door tonight. If any man, if any woman hear my voice tonight and you feel the need of it, there is the Savior knocking. Open your door. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity will it be. He says, I will come into you. We have a Savior who is always longing to come into your heart so that he can dwell there, direct your life every day, to walk in newness of life, to walk in spiritual health with him, and he will sup with you and you with him. This is a wonderful, wonderful offer. It is the greatest honor to invite someone to the house and to have a meal together is the greatest honor. Do you know that? Yes. Only to someone specially chosen. You say, come to my house and let's have dinner together. And the Lord Jesus says tonight, what is your problem? I want to come in and be with you, that your whole spiritual life be changed, that you will walk with me in newness of life. I stand at the door and knock. You hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and be your guest and be with you. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This is the ultimate reward, which we cannot comprehend today. Walking with God in spiritual health, every day keeping his commandments, every day seeking only to please him, the ultimate reward is, you will be granted to sit with Jesus in his throne. What a wonderful blessing. Now I have some OHPs for those who like to see your real spiritual state. Obtain from this Bible witness available for you outside in the book room. This is from the pen of Dr. Kosi. This is the worldly church. Does it describe this church? I trust not. But it may describe some Christians here. May it not be you, but watch out. You never know. This is a worldly church, and into this church, as the pastor has said, I looked for the world, I saw it in the church. Oh, the world has infiltrated and gone into the church by its carnal way of life, imported into the church. When there are carnal ministers and preachers, they will have a carnal ministry, very worldly today. Is that the kind of church you go to? A carnal worship style, very worldly. Watch out for that. Dear friends, this is a sign of the end time. A carnal fellowship. Because the world has crept into the church. This is a church made up of all kinds of sinful things that have infiltrated into the church. The words should be quite small, but I'll read for you. Sin of lust in the church. Sin of materialism. Of greed. Gossip. Oh, my friends, those who are guilty of gossip are not in spiritual health. May God give us that vibrant hell that we will not be guilty of gossip or unforgiveness. Very easy. Many people are good Christians, even pastors, church leaders, but they are unable to forgive one another, or they may even tell lies. Let our yea be yea. How is your spiritual health? Yea be yea, nay be nay. No two ways about it. No exaggeration. Pride. That is the first sin. Are we guilty of pride in our church? Of quarreling? Teaching falsehood? Selfishness? Betrayal? Bitterness? Oh, what a church it is. And yet, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. I want you to repent and to change and to turn around and be cleansed again. Now here is another one. From the Bible Witness. How the serpent head here is filled with all kinds of evil. Can I read them to you? Right? A bit small, the words. Fornication is number one. The commonest sin today, even the Muslims in Pulau Batam got very angry because hordes of young people, unmarried, go there and enjoy themselves. Fornication in the church is something that will damage the spiritual life and health of the church. Covetousness, greed in some way, uncleanness, inordinate affection, any kind of lustful feelings and activities belong to this description. Concupiscence, lusts of every kind. Are you guilty? Let us examine ourselves. And now we come to the paper that you were given this evening when you came in. And we have given you a ball pen, to those who did not have a ball pen. And I'll take you briefly through this little exercise. Alright, please, let us all be very honest and serious. I'm very serious, I hope you are. This is written for our spiritual health. The front, I said, DIY spiritual checkup. In case some do not know what DIY means, it means do it yourself. Yes. You check on yourself. But I want to urge you, please, to write down with a tick the box which applies to you. All right, number one. Let's do this very seriously and very accurately. Number one. On returning from shopping at CK Tang, you find that the cashier has given you excess $45 for the goods you've bought in the change. You go home, you check, what will you do? Number one, is that you? Tick there. If that is what you've done, tick it. Or return it as soon as possible. ASAP. As soon as possible. Or number six, oh, never mind, I give it to some charity. Maybe it is to solve your conscience, and then you forget it, you keep the change. Which is it? Is it common? Does it happen? Not very often, but it can happen to you. What do you do? As a Christian, what is the correct response to do? Number two. Friends invite you to join an all-night party on Saturday. What would you do? Good friends, come along. Sentosa, tonight, whole night party. Number one, you say, no, I honor God. Tomorrow is the Lord's day. It's holy to me. I will say this, dear friends. Any night for a Christian is out. It's not Saturday necessarily. Maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But if there is such a partying through the night, reveling through the night, is not for Christian health. You say, out with it. B, or you say, oh, not this time, maybe another day. You allow a loophole. Dear friends, in Christian walk, do not allow a loophole for Satan. Or C, you join your friends and have a good time. Which is it? Write down honestly what you have done. Number three. Now this one is more tricky. You wake up at 7:30 a.m. this morning. What do? Close your eyes and sleep on. Number two, get up and on your knees, do your quiet time for half an hour. Or read Sunday Times. After all, that's the only morning you can read newspaper in bed for as long as you like. All right. Which is it? Be honest. Put your take. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you have a number of options. Which do you choose? Which one? Number one, A, go out with a friend. B, attend prayer meeting. C, watch a TV serial. What's the difference? Why can't I stay at home and watch TV? Why should I go to prayer meeting? How is your spiritual health? Be honest. Put your tick. Number five, you have received your salary and bonus. A, you go on a shopping spree at Robinson's. B, you put the money in the bank. C, you remember there is a new work in Pontianak and say, Lord, may this go to the work of the gospel in Pontianak. Which is your choice? Six, the internet porn website is always a temptation, always available. Only thing you know how to punch the right buttons. You make up your mind, number A, to present my body is a living sacrifice for God, holy, acceptable to God. And you refuse to at any time access that website. Is that you? Or you visit the channel because it's pleasurable every day. You watch and you get involved. Or C, you visit it at weekends. Just an aside, psychologists in America are very worried about the website where there is so much of this filth. Chat rooms. Families are breaking up everywhere because of the filth and the lust of the flesh that comes through into Christian homes. And because it's so easy to access, people go in and their homes are shipwrecked. Be careful. Seven, Sunday evening. How do you spend Lord's Day evening? I invite some church leader, come to our Sunset Gospel. No, this is the only night. Every week we have Sunday evening family dinner. I cannot go to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Is that you? Or Sunday evening is Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, or number C, I bring some friends with me to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Which is it? If you have the third one, your spiritual health is super good. B is good enough. Alright, eight. School vacation time. You have a choice to read new books. Which is your choice? Harry Potter? Or what? Please remember, Harry Potter is not harmless kid stuff. It is not. It is satanic. It is demonic. B, Pilgrim's Progress. Or Straits Times National Geographic. That is neutral. Right? Neutral. But Pilgrim's Progress is the second most helpful book outside of the Bible ever printed in English print. Pilgrim's Progress. Read it. If you have not read it, read it. Number nine, honor thy father and thy mother. What do you do when they are old and retired? You know, if only we remember how Father cared for us, even as you care for your child today, and remembering that Father was so good to you, how do you treat father and mother today? Think. Alright? A. Or visit them occasionally. Or forget them completely. Or support them financially and visit weekly. Do you do that? Is it too hard? Is it too heavy a price? 10. You receive a voucher to 3 nights at the Sentosa Casino. Of course, it's not built yet, but it's coming soon. What do you do? You say, well, no harm, let's have an experience. After the hotel is free even. You accept the experience and you go. Or you give the voucher away. Number see, destroy the voucher. Which would you do? To conclude, one last one from Madam Potiphar. This is serious, and this is real. This is from the Bible, Genesis 39. Lady says, who's the lady? Madam Potiphar. Lie with me, she says. And what do you say? What did Joseph say? Joseph says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? It's not because I'm afraid people know. No, that's not the reason. Although it may work sometimes, but that is not the reason. Or to say this is no good. No, dear friends, there is just one. For a Christian who lives in spiritual health, who walks with God, there is only one. Only one. And I say it's not easy. How can you make up this decision? Answer, by covenanting with God beforehand. Every morning you say, Lord, I am your child. I want to do just what you want me to do. I will please you and none other. I will please you always under all circumstances. I make up my mind now, Holy Spirit, help me. When the temptation comes, I will say, how can I do such wickedness against my God? Spiritual health must be exhibited by the way we live, by the decisions we make. It is a day-to-day, everyday challenge and experience. You've got to go through it. And I say, do not wait till the temptation comes. The battle is not won at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 6 or 7 p.m. The battle is won at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. in the morning when you meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in your quiet time. And there you say, Lord, help me today to live for you another day with victory, because you have given yourself for me. Let me give myself for you. Let me walk in the pathway of righteousness and true contrition. Let me be a good witness for you. You've got to make up your mind and say, I belong to the Lord. I cannot do such a thing. Even as this young man, Joseph, how did he know? When he left home, he was 17. When this thing happened to him, he was about 30. Yes, he was a great man. And the temptation was there. Perfect. Nothing to stop it. He says, no. My God knows. I belong to Him. How can we live a true Christian life of health? How can it be? Not easy, but possible. Possible by the grace of God. And God is ever willing to help you. Only thing, you got to come to Him and say, Lord, I promise you, I covenant with you, I will do just what pleases you. Dear friends, are you ready for that? Let us pray. As we close this service, ask the Lord to search your heart, that He will begin a new work in each of us. Coming and hearing the Word of God is not good enough, for we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So I give you this opportunity to search your heart before the Lord. The Lord who has given up all, including His own life for you. And now He is praying for you in heaven every day, interceding for each one of us. And how He will be pleased to know there are people in Pandan tonight who are seeking His help, who are crying to Him, say, Lord, help. We want to do just what You want us to do, to walk in Thy ways. Our Father in heaven, may this be the heart cry of every truly born again believer. Perchance there is someone who is yet outside the kingdom. He will consider to come in and invite the Savior into his life. For the rest of us, Lord, who name the name of Christ, may his truth rule supreme in our hearts. And may our lives be ruled only by the holy commandment and by the fear of God. O Lord, may this holy fear lead us ever upwards and onwards until we see our Savior face to face. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.